again. Welcome to Sons of the Double Cheeseburger. I'm Brandon. I'm here with Kevin.
Hello.
How are you doing today, Kevin?
I'm doing pretty good. It's my anniversary.
I forgot this was your anniversary today. Oh my gosh. Happy anniversary.
Why, thank you.
16. I'm very sorry. And tomorrow is Mom and Dad's anniversary, right?
Right. That's right.
See, that's pretty brilliant that I forgot both of those together. Well,
for the longest time I used to reverse the date. For some reason I thought mine was the 19th and theirs was the 18th.
How did that go for you?
Oh, it went just fine, right?
Yeah. I'm sure. I'm sure that was great. It was very popular with the wife. Yeah. Tell her happy anniversary. And happy anniversary to you as well. How many years is this now?
16.
16 years. We just keep getting older. Joshua just turned 20 this week.
Jimmy.
So, yeah.
That's right. Oh, we missed his birthday.
Now I have a post-teenager. That's new. That's exciting. So, yeah. Anything else exciting going on these week?
No, not really. Kids are going to be off of school and went to a Christmas market in Ottawa. They have it set up so that none of you ever been to like a Christmas market or a, you know, right. They've got the wooden booths.
The traditional German kind of thing, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And we've always gone to the one either downtown or they had it in Naperville for a few years as well and such. But they're not having it downtown or here in Naperville. So they're going to Ottawa. Ottawa being out near Starved Rock. It's probably... It's most of the way to Utica, which is in where Rock State Park is, right? Right, it's where the Radium Girls were from. If you're familiar with that.
I'm not.
Industrial debacle.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah, so these women that painted the radium dials for watches and clocks and such, and they were told it was safe, and they all got these horrible forms of cancer. And they fought for stricter employee safety regulations. Yeah. So
that's right.
And apparently a place where they don't really think that masks are necessary. There's this handful of, you know, you have the handful of people who.
Uh-huh.
Right. There was a guy wearing shorts as well. It was like 28 degrees out.
Listen, there are some people that are just not going to be told what to do. And we already knew that. And so this has just given us another opportunity to see that.
Well, but otherwise, how about you? So anything else? Anything?
Probably the biggest thing for me, I successfully completed repairing our dryer. I think you just had dryer problems, didn't you?
Washing machine, yes.
Washing machine, okay. Mine was dryer. Turned out that I was able to diagnose, found that the heating element was broken on the dryer, ordered a new one, and replaced it successfully. So,
I'm impressed. Was it difficult?
Not that difficult. Honestly, no. It's turns out I probably got lucky that the dryer broke instead of the washer because the dryer actually doesn't have a whole lot of stuff going on. Just had to take the back off, like 9 screws, and then the element is right there. You just 2 screws hold that on. It's plugged in at a couple of points. You just unplug it. That's it.
Yeah, you know, when I was diagnosing our washing machine, which we had misdiagnosed, but it ended up just being a fuse.
Okay.
But looking into what some of the likely repairs might have been, none of them looked terribly difficult. It was, like you say, taking off a panel and unplugging a few things and unscrewing some things and, you know, replugging, rescrewing. And
yeah, I would say actually on the list of things that I have fixed in the year 2020, This was not at the top. I could give you a quick rundown of the things. This is sort of shocking because you know me, if listeners know me, they know that I am not famous for my handyman skills.
No, neither of us are. No. We grew up in a house where they had the whole Time Life collection of home repair books.
Yeah.
And I don't think we didn't learn anything by osmosis from
Dad knew how to fix a lot of things. Dad always, of course, worked on cars because he didn't believe in buying cars that didn't need work done on them. And none of that took, seemed, for a really long time.
What have you fixed this year?
This is all just since pandemic. So since like March.
Okay.
They had replaced our kitchen sink, and they replaced it with a new sink that has like the single sort of handle that you sort of turn one direction or the other, right?
Yep.
And Zachary finds that sufficiently exciting that he really employs it with too much force. So Zachary handles that kitchen sink like he's doing the stick shift in like a 60s car chase movie.
Okay.
Right?
So it's
so he busted that clean off. And when you break that off, what you have to replace is the valve. So I learned how to replace the valve on the kitchen sink.
Nice.
So did that. I completely rebuilt one of the toilets, like all the guts in, like all the plumbing stuff inside of it.
Yeah.
The gaskets holding the tank to the base.
Yeah, we did all that recently. Mm-hmm.
Then the dishwasher broke, so I removed the pump motor, diagnosed that was not the problem, and then you have to like get it out there to figure out if it's the problem or not. So I did that, cleaned everything out. That wasn't the problem. Then figured out the problem was there's that trap that goes up by your sink. And that was the problem. And then I replaced that whole apparatus. Wow, okay. So did that. Then another toilet broke. So I did the guts of the second toilet. Then the kitchen sink broke again because stick shift Zach took it down again. So now we have a really intense teaching plan in our house where we only use two fingers to maneuver the kitchen sink lever. So I did that a second time.
Was it easier the second time?
It was, because I knew where to find the part. I mean, I like had to, this is not easy to find. It took me like 3 days to find the part from Kohler, because this was a kitchen sink that our handyman, who actually installed the original sink, he bought it at Home Depot like late 2019 or early 2020. And Kohler has already discontinued that valve and switched to a different valve. So as like I had to go searching to find the place where they finally say, oh yeah, we don't have that part anymore. We use this part. I'm like, do you do this a lot? Do you like put out a product and like 3 weeks later, like make it obsolete? So anyway, I didn't get an answer from Kohler. But
they're in Wisconsin. If you want, I can go up there and ask them.
Yeah, go ask them, because they're probably not golfing right now. They have a lovely golf course right up by there. Mm-hmm, So anyway, yeah, let me think. That was those things. And then, that's the main stuff. Besides running Ethernet cable throughout the whole house so that everyone in the house could have high-speed Internet for Zoom meetings. And, I think that's the big stuff for this year.
We just had to put a new door handle on our front door.
Oh, yeah.
It fell off.
That's not ideal.
So we had to, yeah. And then we had to, have I told you this?
No, I don't think so.
I went to open the door to my bedroom one day quite recently, and I didn't think I'd been that aggressive, but I just pulled it off the hinges. The whole door just came off in my hand.
Wow.
Fell on me, and I was like, what did I do? So.
Had to wow. Yeah. So have you been talking to a therapist about your anger issues then? Just to sort of, so that you don't do that again?
No, I'm actually, I'm enjoying.
Off the hinges?
No, I'm enjoying my anger issues. So I'm having a good time with them.
Nice.
I'm just looking around at what I can break.
Yeah, I think that's what Zach does too.
We should start a club.
You and him. Yes, you should. So yeah, I mean, I'm quite proud of myself. All of these
you
things
should be.
That I've fixed. You know what? On a toilet, I've replaced like a flapper and like the chain and stuff before. So I would have guessed that I could do that stuff. But basically the rest of it is all stuff that I would have assumed there was no chance I could do this on my own.
Right. And somebody is going out there is going to be saying, I do stuff like that all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Nothing.
I'm sure they do.
But you know what?
I'm really clueless.
well, yeah, I think it's impressive that you took the tasks on and did them yourself, even if for some people those are perhaps rudimentary tasks. I am impressed and want to congratulate you on expanding your experience and knowledge base.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, part of it is the fact that, you know, I don't have a job. And so every time something needed to be fixed, I was like, I don't have a job to pay for this. And so what I do is I tell myself, like I fixed the dryer, and I just said to Christy, I was like, look at that. I fixed the dryer. We could have called somebody in here, and it probably would have cost, I don't know, $13,000 to fix it.
Yeah.
You know? Right, and right. So, yeah. And so that's what I just tell myself every time, you know, my estimate is that, you know, the plumbing things, the dryer, I think I've saved my family about $40,000 this year in repair bills.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think things are more expensive out there in California. So
then I have justified my existence.
The hourly rate for most plumbers or repairmen is probably in the $6,500
to $8,500 range. Yeah, right. That also an makes hour. Up for the yeah. fact that at one point during the pandemic, while I'm not driving my car, my steering column decided it wasn't going to be a thing anymore. And so I had to pay $3,000 for a new steering column.
Right, right.
That's so I had to trade off somewhere.
Right. Know? Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's how things are going for me. So I'm feeling pretty great. Proud of myself. And yeah. So I want to come back to something. I want to, you know, we were talking about your trip to Ottawa. And, you know, some people who maybe hadn't yet gotten the memo. And again, if you don't know Illinois, Ottawa is part of the more rural part of the state. It's kind of it's what some people would call downstate. So maybe the news hasn't gotten to downstate yet.
It's southwest of the city.
Yeah.
It's not, I wouldn't consider it. I mean, like, there are some people that say everything outside of Chicago is downstate.
I was going to say, yeah.
I wouldn't call it down. I associate it more with kind of that northern Illinois section.
Sure. Which, again, some people remember when I lived in Lena, I heard people refer to that as downstate.
Yeah, and Lena was due west of the city, right?
That's correct. I think actually might actually be north of the city of Chicago.
I believe you are probably correct there, yes.
So.
And Ottawa is not far necessarily all that far south of the city.
No.
It's in that kind of that northern area. Like the northern part of the state and the southern part of the state, but like the northwestern part of the state, have actually some hilly areas and cliffs.
Yes, they do.
Ottawa is kind of getting into that range right there on the, I think it's the Illinois River or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So here's the thing I'm thinking about. As you talked about that, I wanted to ask you, you know, we may be rounding the corner on the ways that we're having to live life differently because of COVID-19. Is that you knocking on wood or is that someone?
No, I was knocking on wood.
Okay, don't break it. Don't. I don't want you to like bust a desk in the middle of the podcast. So, but we may be rounding the corner on that, right? And it's got me starting to think about when life goes back to, you know, more like normal.
Right.
I think it seems clear that there are going to be some things that will go back the same way and other things that will not go back the same way, that they'll go back a little bit different. And some of those things people are going to lament and they're going to be frustrated and you're going to complain and whine about, you know, honestly. And some of those things are actually going to be for the better for everybody. I'm pretty confident that there will be something, maybe multiple somethings, that will come out of this era that 2 years, 5 years, 15 years from now, like people will look back and they'll go, well, that was, you know, that's a good thing. You know, we're glad that changed because our life has been better for that. Mm-hmm. And okay. I wanted to, and so I also want to say this. So what I want to do is I want to ask you, like, if you buy that idea, and I want to ask you to think about what you think could be some of those positive changes in terms of cultural life or practice because of COVID. The thing that spurred, part of what spurred my thinking on this is thinking about accessibility and the Americans with Disabilities Act, right? Mm-hmm. Which and this is going to seem like I'm off in the field now to people. I'm coming back, I promise. But Americans with Disabilities Act, one of the things that is a part of that is the regulations that require accessibility in public places. And so a lot of things that, and a lot of the manifestations of that are things like ramps for the entrances of buildings, ramp or like sort of sloped entry, like coming up from the street to the sidewalk, having the textured pad on the sidewalk to let you know that you're coming close to the, you know, stepping into the street, things like that. But there are other things like that as well. And these were all modifications that were designed to make it easier for folks with some sort of impairment as they're making their way around public places. But one of the things that happened, one of the unexpected benefits of that, is that many people came to realize that many of these same changes were beneficial for them or preferable for them, even if they didn't have an impairment that was part of the original reason behind the change. Mm-hmm. And so people that talk about design and they talk about like sort of public work like this will sometimes talk about the idea that accessible design is actually design that's good for everybody. And it's not always the case that everybody recognizes that at the front end, but it ultimately becomes clearer that that accessible design is just good design. And so that idea, that sort of unintended consequence of we do something for this reason, it actually ends up benefiting everybody, even beyond the original sort of anticipated audience, also is what got me thinking about this idea that we made these changes for this time period of COVID, and which of those are we going to find we keep because they were just better? So, mm-hmm. So I want to... You have any thoughts on that? You got any ideas, any things that strike you that you think this is a good change that's going to stick even after COVID is controlled?
Yeah, I hope that one of the things that will stick, and it doesn't particularly affect me personally at this point, but I think the idea of people being able to work remotely, I think that could be a really good thing. I think there's some evidence that companies are already seeing the benefit of allowing their employees that, and you know, not maintaining office space, and it really expands your ability to access a talent pool.
Right.
And on the flip side of that, in some ways I don't really care if it's good for companies. I think that makes, you know, certain types of jobs it easier for anybody to get.
Right.
And I think it's good for rural communities, small communities. You know, you don't have to focus the whole workforce for a certain sector, you know, in a place like San Francisco or New York. You can start to pull from farther afield. And some of the benefits that that could have, one, you don't have people maybe driving as much. So yep. You start to, you know, keep those both the costs associated with travel,
yeah.
You know, with less dependence on fuels like that, those costs go down
because sure.
There's less demand. But you also have less pollution. You know, vehicles can last longer. But you also have
less wasted time. I mean, think about people just spend sure. time in their cars, right? Or on the train right. and are often trying to find a way to redeem that time in some way. But what if you didn't have to work that hard at redeeming that time?
Yeah, exactly. You get back an hour or more of your life. You know, or just the fact of if you didn't have to have everybody like, okay, San Francisco is well known now mm-hmm. for the housing market being insane.
Yeah.
Far beyond anything that makes any sense because there's a large percentage of workers that because the industry is concentrated in that area, yeah. they have to be concentrated in that area.
Yeah.
And so speculators have come in. And whenever speculation comes into a market, the cost goes up for the average person, the actual users of the product. But if it wasn't like a captive, you know, real estate audience, then maybe housing costs could go down.
Right.
Because if I could live in Florence, Alabama, or Carroll Stream, Illinois instead, or New Mexico, South yeah. Dakota, there's you know when you make that more diffuse market, speculation can't hold you hostage as easily.
Right. Yeah, and that's already happening like out here. People that have a lot of the rental market has really changed, and not all of it. I mean, it's amazing because some of the housing prices have managed to stay high out here. Even as they've started to drop in other places by a lot. But a lot of that's just because we don't have enough housing stock. But you're right that people are already starting to move farther away from here because a lot of these companies have said, we're not going to require that you work from a physical office anymore. And so I just saw an article today that there's been a rash of people, and of course this would be Silicon Valley, this will give people another reason to hate them, but people who decided, well, if I don't have to be in around San Francisco, and they've moved to Hawaii, and so they're living in Hawaii to ride out the pandemic and maybe are never coming back. So,
and by the way, Hawaiians hate them for that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I think that's a good example. I think your point, the idea that work that doesn't have to be done from a single physical location, getting untethered from that, I think is a good outcome in a bunch of ways. Like you said, can be good for companies, can be good for workers, can be good for the environment, can be good for traffic, can be good for all these kind of things, for letting people live where they want to live. That's a great example. I'm with you. I think I hope that does stick. And I think it will. You kind of hope people get a taste of it and won't be willing to just give it back.
Right. And that companies won't just default to the more controlling element. Right. Oh, I want you all under the same roof where I can keep my eyes on you.
Well, I have to assume that a lot of these companies have realized that they're not, like, their productivity hasn't cratered. That was always that seemed to always be the speculation or the assumption, right? You have to have your eye on your employees, because if you don't have your eye on them, they're not going to get the work done. Because, of course, you know, the employees don't have any pride in their work.
Yeah, I mean, if your employees don't have pride in your work, if you make it, if your employees hate being at your job,
right,
it's probably not the fault of your employees.
That might be the problem. It might not be that's right. That's right. If you have a job that leads people to hate it and behave like it's sucking their souls out, it might be because it's sucking their souls out.
Right.
Yeah. That's a great example. Good one. So related to that, and actually this makes me think about, and this is going to sound a little bit, I was trying to think about how to say this without sounding like I was picking on my previous employer. And I'm not, because I want to be clear. It's actually probably more picking at myself. But I'm going to talk about like the last maybe month to 2 months that I was in my job before I left it and everything shut down in mid-March. I was really sick. Like I was basically like late January through the entire month of February. I just didn't feel good. I was exhausted a lot of the time. I had this chest congestion that just wouldn't go away. And every time I would like push myself, if I had a day that I really had to work hard or just some extra stuff came up, I ended up with a fever the next day. And I worked through all of it. Mm-hmm. Like I took one day that I didn't go to the office and I just worked from home. And I took maybe like 2 sick days, which was the first sick days I'd taken in a couple of years. Because I've just always worked through stuff. You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people do that. And some of us do it because, I don't know, I'd probably do it as much for like insecurity and stuff like that. Other people work through being sick because they don't have enough sick days, or because they have to save their sick days in case one of their kids gets sick or something like that. Right?
Right.
And I don't think I got other people sick in that month of just, you know, trying to gut it out. But I certainly didn't get myself better any faster. It seems to me that, you know, we've gone through this year where we've had to say to people, if you're sick, stay home. Don't go out. Even if you're out going out to stores, if you know, every store that you go to, or at least out here, every store you go to, it says, if you're sick, please go home. Don't come in. You know, companies are saying to their staff, if you're sick in any way, because a lot of times they're having to do temperature checks and, you know, and all these kind of things. And if you're sick, stay home, get better. And I think that's a good thing. Like that's better for our health. That's better for not getting other people sick. But first of all, it's just better for us. And it, again, like for me, I think a lot of it came from like insecurity and this sense that, you know, my worth is I'm getting there and I'm getting my work done. And even if I don't always believe in myself or always am confident that I'm that good at what I do, well, at least the people I work for know that I'm going to be there no matter what, you know?
Yeah. Although, I mean, I think there's still enough companies that have tried to find every way they can to still work around this. And I think that the data has shown for a very long time how insecure people feel about their jobs.
Yeah.
And that it has to be regardless of how, you know, how proficient they actually are at them, because it's consistent enough and it's pervasive enough that people don't take vacation time or sick days, like you're saying. And it's not because they don't need them.
Right.
It's because their employer makes them feel like they're really, if you use the actual benefit you are entitled by the corporation and by law, you are putting yourself at risk of a perception issue, which we all know a perception issue can suddenly become a wage issue or right. a employment issue. You know, so I don't have a lot of hope that that's going to continue, because I think companies will fairly quickly, when they don't have to, revert back to being abusive and inhumane.
Well, maybe. I guess we're
going to... I really hope that'll change.
I get what you're saying, and I guess I'm not usually an optimist, and so I this would be a weird
I hope
time.
You're right. And I hope that there's, overall, we're maybe going to continue also to see a change in leadership, a generational change in leadership.
Right.
Where the idea of treating your employees like possessions, like dumb machines, mm-hmm. That goes away.
Right.
That changes, that people have a humane view of each other, of how they should treat each other. Because, and realistically speaking, all the studies show that this sort of way of treating your employees reduces their productivity.
Right. Yeah.
But the amount and the quality of work they do is affected by, negatively affected by the way that companies treat people. Some companies. Right. But that's still not been a... that's still not been enough to dissuade people. You almost wonder, is the cruelty the whole point? Is that a secondary product that some of these companies are making?
Right.
Is misery.
Yeah, it could be. I don't know who gets to harness that. Maybe it's like a Monsters Incorporated kind of thing. Like the misery that American corporations create is powering an alternate society somewhere.
No, I think that fuels some people. I think that some people who already have the idea that they're better than others because they were born on third base or because they lucked into something.
Right.
That seeing other people's misery reminds them or confirms for them that indeed those people are suffering because they're not as worthy as I am.
Yeah.
And if I take away their suffering, I'm giving them a benefit that they don't deserve.
Sure. Well, I have to admit any optimism I have for that isn't based in thinking that employers will become more humane and more person-centered. And it's in hoping that that any public health messaging has started to change the degree to which people take seriously communicable illness. Because, again, if you think about Asian cultures, right? They went through a couple of rounds of serious infectious diseases like this, and at least my perception is that Asians living in the U.S., especially if they had ties to their country of origin, still were much faster to get on board with wearing masks and taking all of those things seriously.
Right. That's not been an uncommon behavior in certain, you're right. Certain seasons where there might be a higher transmission of certain illnesses and such. Mask wearing.
Even before any of this, you would see that.
Some of that's been like for the pollution and such, but some of that has been a public health choice that people have made.
So I'm kind of hoping, maybe there's a chance. And again, I don't know. I think this one is less certain than the working remotely being a durable change, because we've managed to pollute the public opinion around public health and public health messaging so much throughout this year that, again, you're still going to have people who will say they think the whole thing is fake. You still have people that are not buying that the deaths that we've experienced have been anything unusual.
99% of people survive.
Right.
Okay. Well, I guess so. We're setting the bar at you didn't die. Congratulations.
Right.
Super great bar you set there. But again, 1% of the population is still an incredibly large number of people. Plus, of that much larger percentage of people who get the disease and don't die, or get any disease and don't die, there are long-term health effects that minimize their quality of life, put themselves and others at risk, etc. Why do we want it? Why do we ignore that part of it?
Right.
You know, we're not going to get into that. It's, I do hope that there, I mean, I think there is a certain percentage, I think a majority percentage of people who have taken a different idea now about communicable disease.
Sure.
And hopefully that can be a driving force for the sort of change that you're hoping sticks.
Well, and I'm hoping maybe what it is, like, okay, so I'll take myself. If, when I go back to the workforce at some point, I genuinely believe that I will now be more intentional about using a sick day if I'm sick.
Right.
And and so I'm hoping that there are other people for whom they, this whole season, this whole era, if will be enough that it will have changed their personal thinking, and that may start to, again, move us toward a tipping point culturally. So
yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a good example. I think that would be a fantastic outcome from this.
Yeah. So can you think of anything else that? I mean, I'm really confident there will be something that none of us will think of, and it'll happen after the fact, and we'll realize this came out of COVID-19. We're like, huh, didn't see that.
I don't know. Like, I've wondered, like, will certain industries rebound? Like, will people eat at home more?
Right.
Things like that, and I think that as soon as the risk factors have abated and there's no restrictions, people are going to be out at restaurants. People are going to be out everywhere. You know, it's not, and I, in large part, I think that's a good thing. I think people need, you know, human interaction. But I don't know. I was going to say something and I don't want to say it. Because I don't know that I can say it well enough for it not to end up just being sounding insensitive and stupid. So I don't want to sound insensitive or stupid. You know, I mean, there's plenty of things that die off.
Yeah.
That in the end, we realize we didn't really need them in the first place.
It's true.
And people adapt to things going away that they thought were either a neutral or that they thought they needed or whatever the case may be. And in the end they realize I'm okay without it.
Yeah.
But that's not really what we're talking about, what we can be okay without. It's what things do we think are going to change. And I don't know that I can think of, I mean, you know, I don't know that people are going to be like some, I've read articles where people, you know, no one's going to be shaking hands anymore. No, people will shake hands.
Yeah.
People will hug. People will do all that stuff. And I frankly hope that people, I don't know about, I mean, I don't have any attachment to handshaking, but I hope that people don't take out of this, you know, feel the necessity to always keep a distance from each other.
Right.
Now, if you integrate keeping, your personal, your contact with what you were talking about in terms of safe habits from a public health perspective, staying home when you're sick, or maybe washing your hands, doing things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be great if people washed their hands more often. There's been lots of studies to show that people don't wash their hands.
I mean, this is the thing. I tried to believe some of these things this week. I already had, like, I want to believe that people are really washing their hands, right? Nope. Walked into a bathroom with Zachary this week, and as we're walking in, a dude is coming out of the bathroom, and I watch him make a hard turn. He turns directly from the urinals to the door, and I'm like, because I see the angle he's coming from. Like, there's no way you stopped at the sink.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't. Nicely done.
I mean, that's just gross.
Wrong.
Even if there weren't communicable diseases, even if there was no way to get a disease, the fact that you're, oh, now my hands are coated in a fine mist of urine. That's nice. Man. How nice.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So there's that, you know, I was trying to talk myself into believing that people would give like a little more personal space when you're out in public. No, I had a guy jamming up on me today already. And I like, yeah. You know, people,
I don't go out a lot, but I still have people all of a sudden, it's like, you're right next to me.
Like, why are you right there? You know? So, you know, so here's what I want to recommend. More farting in public. That might help that. I haven't workshopped that idea with anybody else yet. I'm bringing that to you first. But I'm thinking that's what I'm going to do. Like, people are crowding up on me. I'm just going to let them rip.
Can you?
I'm an old man at this point, so I can get flatulent in a hurry if I need to.
Well, that's something I never really thought I'd hear. I didn't know. I don't have that skill.
Well, you're 2 years younger than I am. Give it a little time. It's a developing thing.
We come from a family that has a proud, a long tradition
of flatulence. I was going to say, proud's definitely the wrong word when you're, except that's the problem. I think you're right, actually. I think taking pride in flatulence is a weird thing, but yeah, we might be the people to do it.
I mean, farts are funny sometimes.
Sure. I mean. Funny, not a source of pride.
Do you remember we were on a trip or something? And we were, I think it was a McDonald's, and there's one.
Unless you're Rudy Giuliani and you're testifying.
Not once, but twice.
We were on a trip somewhere, he said.
Right, and we stopped at a McDonald's, and that was when all, like, everything within a McDonald's was this really hard, resonant plastic.
Yes.
And Dad's sitting in this booth, and boom, just. It was like being at a Black Sabbath concert. It was so loud. It was just. And he was just beaming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We're the people to be proud about flatulence. I don't know why.
And the burping, too.
Yeah. I get that with Zach, by the way. You know, this is the beauty of autism. You know, you're still always trying to teach some of the language that goes with some of these things, right? Mm-hmm. And so he'll burp, and I'll say, what do you say? Well, actually, I don't say that anymore. I used to say, a lot of times I'd say, so what do you say? And the time that he said, I burped. I was like, well, that didn't work. Just like, I burped. Yeah. Hey, did you catch that?
Yeah!
Yes, we all caught that.
Did you hear that? You ever seen Elf? The movie Elf?
Yes. I haven't seen it this year. I probably should. Well, hey, let's, and again, I think that let's make an appointment. We're going to talk about this again in 5 years. We'll do it in 5 and 10. Okay. Cause right, do that. Put it in your Google Calendar. 5 years from now, talk to Brandon. Just do that. Just say, talk to Brandon. What? Why?
Well, no.
But I stopped doing that in 2020. Anyway, but I think something will come out of this that we will look back and we'll say that was the thing that we had no idea that was coming. I mean,
let's hope it's not like Civilization.
No.
Boy, and we thought Civilization could survive that.
No.
Ha, ha, ha. How foolish we were now we're living.
Think about this. I mean, it's
our underground bunkers.
That's correct. That's right. You know, free and fair elections. I didn't, whatever. You know. But I mean, think about this: the method that was used to come up with this vaccine. This, you know, that's a pretty new technique, and I think this is like the first major vaccine that has been developed using that method, and it's
the RDNA method.
Yeah, right. And that's what part of what enabled them to do it so quickly. And so,
right.
This is going to be, in terms of future illnesses and diseases, the ability to do that sort of vaccine through RDNA is really promising.
Right. I think that previously been primarily like a couple cancer vaccines.
Yeah. Yeah.
But otherwise, yeah. So, anything we can learn from that, from this, that can improve our ability to treat illness or, because I have a feeling we've kind of reached a tipping point in terms of population and how population is organized around the world.
Okay.
You know, these huge cities,
mm-hmm.
Such that pandemics are not going to be an uncommon thing.
Right.
Or potential pandemics are not going to be uncommon.
As long as that guy at Target doesn't start washing his hands, I think you're right. Yeah. There's always going to be some dope like that.
Right. So hopefully, if you can both continue to address it from the perspective of how can we effectively protect against and treat, then you start to have some confidence that
yeah.
it doesn't have to be as brutal as it was this time through.
Right. Well, let us hope. So
we sound so optimistic here.
I know, so
an optimistic note I think you wanted, right? But
we were going for optimism, and I think we ended up with less pessimism. So let's it's like that old Simpsons line, right?
That's the opposite of shame.
What's the
not shame?
Not shame. That's right. So we got to not pessimism.
Yeah. You know what? Frankly, I'll take it.
Yeah, I will too.
I haven't had a good dose of not pessimism in a while, so I'm excited, actually.
Tastes good right now, actually. Fizzy. Mm. I just like the bubbles.
They tickle your nose.
They do. All right. Well, this is a good conversation. I think this may be the last one we have before Christmas. Talk before Christmas.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's possible. We may not talk with our thousands and thousands of listeners before Christmas, though. So listeners, have a good Christmas, unless you don't celebrate Christmas, in which case have a good Hanukkah or Kwanzaa.
And,
or
just happy holidays. There's lots of holidays out there. I hope whichever ones you choose to celebrate, that you enjoy them.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I like that.
I'm not highlighting any one particular holiday, but that does not mean I'm excluding it then. I am just saying, hey, everybody, have a good time.
Way to go.
I hope it's meaningful for you.
You're just doing that because a Democrat got fake elected to president.
Yeah, is Happy Holidays like the All Lives Matter of in their mind? I don't know.
It's the Black Lives Matter.
But see, Happy Holidays is including everybody, but All Lives Matter includes everybody.
Yeah.
So what is the what? You see that?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So let's make our next conversation about the culture wars.
No.
Okay. That will be
a mega episode that will be filled with bile and rage
and recrimination. All right. Well. Then we hope, again, that you're going to enjoy your holidays. And if you want, you can follow us on Instagram, at Sons of the Double Cheeseburger. You can go to our, we got a Facebook page, Sons of the Double Cheeseburger. We occasionally put up information, things that we are thinking about. in both of those places. Mm-hmm. You can also send us mail. You can send that to P.O. Box, I'm going to say 4. I decided 4. So,
Then it's going to go into, like, you know, some boat maker's mail. And you're like, what is this? I was trying to do a Maine accent. I don't think I did it.
You nailed it. You nailed it. You got it. Don't look back. You got it.
So, if we just go with Sons of the Double Cheeseburger,
Ogunquit Maine. Ogunquit, by the way, is Ogunquit. We picked it because it's Ogunquit Maine. It's got the most pairings of you and I in, of any city in North America. Don't look that up. Just trust me. And the zip code at Ogunquit, Maine is 03907.
You have an obsession with Niners.
I do. I love it. I love it. This is from 70s cop shows. Yeah.
Chips is what made me want to live in California.
You know how weird? Oh, my goodness. So funny you say that. Before we go, I was driving down one of the side streets near my house the other day. Not a California highway. And all of a sudden I looked over and there were two CHP bike officers next to me, in the lane next to me. I'm like, I got chips on a non-highway. What is up?
But that, you saw that a lot in the movies, or in the shows. The movie, I didn't see the movie with Dax Shepard.
I didn't see the movie either, although I like Dax Shepard. And I like Michael Pena, but I didn't see the movie.
How tight were their pants?
In the movie? Oh, you mean life?
No, in real life. Because in the TV show, it was some sort of flesh polyester hybrid.
Yeah, right. Connected to their body. It's funny you ask that. Because what I did, as soon as I saw them, I rolled down my window. Right? And I yelled over. I looked over and said, hey, Punch! How tight are your pants?
And after he finished beating you with his...
So, I got a ticket. And so I got to pay for that now. Because apparently it's a criminal offense to ask a CHP officer how tight his pants are. I didn't know that. Now I do. So.
Oh, sorry you had to learn that the hard way.
Well, so it's a way a lot of lessons in life are learned. especially, frankly, a lot of lessons around tight pants.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there is there a profession where you can, a situation where you can ask somebody, hey, how tight are your pants? That does not open the door to a beating.
Probably disco dancing. You're probably okay, right?
Yeah.
If you're at an Yvonne De Jesus cosplay event.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's a deep cut. You know how many people are going to get that joke?
Well, we've talked about Yvonne De Jesus before in this podcast, I believe. So,
yes, we have. All right. Well, listen, take care.
You too, my man.
And until next time, to you, to everybody else, goodbye.
Love you. Bye-bye.